Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. Listener responses tell us that many are finding restoration and wholeness in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, for the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 to 15. Our study was titled, How to Produce Lasting Fruit. As I noted then, our text reveals several critical factors that you and I must consider as we learn to produce lasting fruit. The first critical factor we looked at is the quality of the sower. We learn quickly in this parable that Jesus is the sower, and there is none better than He. Next, we learned about the quality of the seed. The seed is the Word of God, and it has no equal. Neither does it have any flaw or any error. Then we learned about the different kinds of soils and how they responded to the seed. So today, we'll pick up our study of this text and look at another critical factor in learning how to produce lasting fruit. As we begin our study, let me read our text, Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 through 15. Here is the Word of God. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, What does this parable mean? And he said, To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Next, Jesus mentions riches. Both Matthew and Mark use the phrase, the deceitfulness of riches. What's deceitful about riches? They promise what they can't deliver. They promise relaxation, but they only bring tension. They promise happiness, but often bring sorrow. They promise security, but promote worry. They promise power, but enslave people. They promise status, but they bring insecurity. I could expand on each one of those statements, but you can do that on your own. And then finally, in Luke's record, Jesus mentions pleasures. The Greek word is hedone. It's the root of the English word hedonism. Hedonism is simply the doctrine or belief that the chief goal in life is pleasure or happiness. That definition describes most people's reason for living. One of the interesting things I learned about the use of this word in the New Testament is that it always refers to physical pleasures. And a focus on physical pleasures leads to the neglect of essential disciplines. Now, we must remember that in this text, Jesus is talking to potential disciples. Many people today claim they want to follow Christ, but only if it's fun, only if they can have a good time. What then is the final outcome of this thorny soil? Well, sadly, it brings no fruit to maturity. When you and I stand before the judge of all the earth to give an account of what we've done for him, what will he say? Will the things that you and I have accomplished in life be, in his judgment, considered wood, hay, and stubble, things that will be burned up? Do you and I want to enter into his presence with no eternal rewards? If we're allowing the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the pursuit of pleasures to determine our life choices, that's where we'll find ourselves. No fruit to offer the Master. How tragic. The final soil quality Jesus identifies is the good soil. This is the soil type I want for my life. What about you? Luke describes the good soil as those followers of Christ who have an honest and good heart. Matthew describes them as hearing and understanding the word. As you meditate on both of these descriptions and examine the words Jesus used, you discover a key concept. It's obedience. Jesus had spoken of this earlier in the final verses of Luke chapter 6 with the illustration of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man was the one who heard the word of God and obeyed it. As a result, his house endured. In other words, he had lasting fruit. Luke says that the good soil is represented by those who hear the word of God and keep it. That means they hold it fast, they embrace it, they make it a part of their daily living. They see the embrace of truth as essential to fruit bearing, not something that's incidental to it. They understand that good soil doesn't just happen. Good soil must be cultivated. Stones must be removed and the perennial weeds must be rooted out. Soil health must be maintained through fertilization and through the rotation of different crops. There's a need for conservation so the soil isn't eroded or depleted of its necessary nutrients. Maintaining good soil is hard work, both physically and spiritually. My friend, what are you doing to maintain healthy, productive soil? It won't just happen on its own. It will take diligent effort on your part. In your pursuit of bringing fruit to maturity, you'll probably miss out on some of the things that other people find pleasure in. But you know something? Their enjoyment is only temporary. The fruit produced by a godly life will bring its own reward, both now and then on into eternity. Remember, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus promised that those who suffer and weep and face rejection now will in time to come laugh, rejoice, and experience the approval of the Heavenly Father. Good soil will bring a reward for faithfulness. We move now to the final factor in how to produce lasting fruit. It is the quantity in the storehouse. In verse 8 of our text, Jesus states that the good soil brought forth 100-fold. Matthew and Mark add two other increments of production, 30 and 60-fold. Evidently, not all good soil is identically productive. 100-fold means the seed produced 100 times what was originally sown. Since this was the only figure Luke mentioned, it must indicate a very abundant harvest. This is what you and I can expect if we cooperate with God in maintaining good soil in our hearts. We must begin by having the disposition to hear, and that must be followed by a willingness to have the bedrock of our pride and self-righteousness smashed, broken to bits by the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Then add to that the rejection of worldly priorities and pleasures and the pursuit of riches. It includes an honest and a good heart that embraces the Word in every area of life, even when it causes us to be in the minority of professing Christians. But Jesus promises that a life of fruitfulness will follow those who understand these factors. Now, I told you at the very beginning of this exposition that we would not ignore or neglect the first three verses of the chapter, and here is where I believe they fit in this teaching. The lives of these women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others, were all examples of good soil and good sowers. They followed Jesus and ministered to his physical needs out of their own financial resources. We know they were faithful to Jesus during his entire ministry, because we meet them again at the cross and at the empty tomb. These women heard the teaching of Jesus. It resonated in their hearts. It brought them deliverance and peace, and they embraced it with an honest and good heart. We know from the text that Mary Magdalene was delivered from 7 demonic spirits. That must have resulted in severe difficulties for her. But Jesus had set her completely free, and she responded to his love with a generous, giving heart. Mary's identification as being from the town of Magdala may indicate that she was wealthy. You see, ancient Magdala was known for its brilliant dyes that were used in the manufacture of expensive cloth. This may have been the source of Mary's wealth that she so freely shared with her Savior. My friend, do you really want lasting fruit from your life? I do. But in order for that to happen, we need to understand these critical factors that will enable us to produce lasting fruit. First, we must understand the quality of the sower. His skill is unmatched, and he scatters the seed liberally everywhere in the hope that even the least productive ground will yield some fruit. And as I said earlier, if there ever was a person who sowed perfectly, it was Jesus. Second, we must understand that the seed of God's Word is of the highest quality. There is nothing that can compare to it in its purity and its potential. And then third, we must understand the qualities of the soil and make it our goal to allow the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit to plow deeply in our hearts. The more we submit to God's Word, the less the things of earth will hold an attraction for us. We will be able to concentrate on what really matters, bearing fruit to God's honor and glory. And finally, we must understand the quantity in the storehouse. Our rewards will be based on our faithfulness to the Master and how we have ministered to his needs. Jesus said, "We minister to him by serving others." What's in your storehouse today? What will be in your storehouse for eternity? My friend, were you blessed by what you heard today? If so, you can request an audio CD or printed copy of this complete teaching by writing and asking for it by its title, How to Produce Lasting Fruit. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this entire teaching, How to Produce Lasting Fruit. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us with your request for a copy of this teaching is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.